1 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we will be here in just a few moments. If you'd like to open your Bibles back there, and while you're turning them back there, let me take one more opportunity in my last session for this weekend to express to you my very great appreciation. Thank you for the invitation to be with you. I really, really, really appreciate that. I tried to emphasize last night that it's an awesome responsibility to be asked to lead anybody's mind in a study of God's Word. And I know exactly what Jason was talking about just a few moments ago, because no one learns more in preparing for something like this than the teacher. And so while you're toes may feel a little sore, or maybe be a little bloody, just think about my toes having been preparing for a few weeks and thinking about this on the drive over and as I went to sleep last night, because it's one thing to teach it, it's another thing to apply it. It's one thing to hear it, another thing to apply it. But we need to be thankful that God, in His infinite wisdom, has provided things that are timeless. And we'll emphasize that again here in just a few moments. We mentioned it last night. Everything that we need is right here in God's Word. And I hope that you have a sense of what Peter said to Jesus in John chapter 6 when Jesus delivered some hard teaching and many, the majority, wandered away. And he looked at the apostles and asked, do you want to go away as well? And you remember how Peter responds there at the end of John chapter 6. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I hope you have that sense when you open God's Word or activate God's Word, however it is that you read it and expose your heart to it. These are the words of life. And I hope that as we have spent a little bit of time this weekend focusing on them together, it's been a blessing to you. I hope it's made you think and it has challenged you. I just really appreciate the opportunity to do that with you this weekend. As I mentioned last night, if you'd like to talk more about this, I'd love to do that with you. I'm planning on being at the picnic here for a little while, as much as time allows. And if you'd like to talk more, if you'd like to push back on some of the things that I've said, I'd love to have some give and take with you. I just want to go to heaven, and I want you to go to heaven, and I want all of us to be good examples in a world that desperately needs good examples right now. And so if we can help each other along the way, then that, I think, is exactly what our Heavenly Father would have us do. It's always a little hard to know how to wrap things up, especially during a very, very brief weekend. But I'd like to do that with you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and the 31st verse of the chapter. Every once in a while in God's Word, you run across these statements where it's like suddenly you can see really, really, really clearly. I don't know if you enjoy hiking. I love hiking. And sometimes in order to get to some great destination, you've got to walk through a lot of woods and a lot of uphill trekking. And the destination is worth it, but it takes a little bit of work. That's kind of how I view 1 Corinthians 10:31. It's like at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 7, let's say you walk into some deep woods. And 1 Corinthians 7 and 8 and 9 and the bulk of 10, I mean, there's some thick stuff there, and you're not exactly sure where all of this is going and what you're going to see when you get there, and you don't necessarily understand everything that's behind you. But then you come to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, and it's like suddenly you can see the landscape. and you can see for miles and miles and miles. Paul has talked about some challenging stuff over the course of the last several chapters, but then he gets to verse 31 and he says, so. I don't know if you experience this. As a dad, I experience this. I'm trying to get my girls to see something, and the longer I talk, maybe it's just not resonating. And you know, eyes are glassing over, and they're just not sure where in the world I'm going or where I've been. And okay, so to recap, this is what I want you to take away. I think that's what Paul is doing with us. When he says in verse 31, so, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we can understand that, can't we? If we were in a study of 1 Corinthians, we go back and we're hearing about food sacrificed to idols and buying things in marketplaces and rites and sacrificing rites and maybe that's hard to understand. But then we come to verse 31, and it's like it's all put into a little nutshell for us. Here it is. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Or if I could be so bold as to try and make that even a little simpler. Whatever you do, make your heavenly Father proud. I think that's really what Paul is encouraging all Christians to see and apply. You have a heavenly Father. You live in a complicated world. You live in a dark world, a corrupting world, to borrow a word from Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. Make your Father proud. So we take that principle in 1 Corinthians 10, 31, and we apply it to what we've been talking about this weekend. Whether you Facebook or tweet or whatever, you Instagram, or you take those out and put in your favorite digital tool, do it all to the glory of God. How can we take that and wrap everything up for this weekend, at least as far as my part is concerned? I'd certainly encourage you to be here tomorrow morning. I think Heath is going to be talking about that great directive from Ecclesiastes 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And so this focus isn't ending. It's just my portion of this that is being drawn to a close this morning. How can we take everything that we talked about last night and already this morning and live like 1 Corinthians 10 is calling us to live? Go back with me to Romans chapter 12 here, just very briefly in our last few minutes together. I'd like to give you six things to remember. Six things that apply to all of us, whatever our age or level of experience. And here's the first thing. If you choose to spend time on the internet, don't slip into conformity with the internet. It's a choice. It ought to alarm me if I feel like it's not a choice, because it is a choice. Just like it would be a choice to go to a marketplace in an ancient city. There are various ways that you could get food. If you choose to go to the marketplace, step carefully. Be wise. Make your Father proud by the way that you live. If you choose to try and live as a Christian in the city of Rome, be careful. Be wise. Make your Heavenly Father proud by the way that you live. If you choose to live in Galilee, be wise. Step carefully. Make your Heavenly Father proud by the way that you live. In our context for this weekend, don't be like so much of the world around us. That comes out of Romans chapter 12. You have your Bibles open there. You can begin reading with me in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Maybe you do choose to be very involved online. Wonderful. Listen, we need good examples on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram and whatever else you want to talk about. We need good examples of renewed minds. I need that. I need older Christians, more seasoned Christians that I watch and I see. Here is a man or a woman, a veteran disciple of Jesus, who is using this and using this well, using this wisely, using this like the salt of the earth or the light of the world, using this with a transformed, renewed mind. And my kids need to see that in me and those who are coming after all of us. They need to see that, okay, this is the world that we live in. How can we engage in this world well, wisely? How can I use this amazing tool in a way that makes my Heavenly Father proud? You go in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. That is the will of our Savior, of our Lord. Here in John chapter 17, we're given a window into some of the last things on His mind. I mean, this is His last night with the people who mean the most to Him. And here in John 17, we're even given a deeper window into His heart, where John records for us what He's praying for these people on His last night, and for all of us who believe through their work. In John 17 and verse 18, He prays to the Heavenly Father, As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth, made holy. And I think sometimes we struggle with that word. We use it all the time, holy. And a lot of times we think, okay, well, that means morally upright. And there's a aspect of that that is true. And then we think of God, well, He's just really, really morally upright. But you know what that word meant in Jesus' day? It's otherly. That's a little awkward in English, but that's really what the word means. When someone would look at a holy person, well, they are otherly. They're not like everybody else. They are different from the world. That's what Jesus prayed for you, that you would not be like everybody else. And that most certainly applies in this digital age. More and more and more, if we actually follow the will of our Creator, we're going to stand out like a sore thumb. But listen to me, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. If we have hope in a world that is starving for hope, it is not a bad thing that we would stand out like a sore thumb, not drawing attention to ourselves, but to the God who saved us. One other verse along these lines, in 1 John chapter 4, you turn with me over there quickly to 1 John chapter 4, in the fourth verse of the chapter, the same apostle now as a very old man, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, talks to his audience like little children. He says, little children, you are from God. Let's remember that. As we emphasized last night, we're not only created, we are recreated by God. You're from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Could I encourage you to live like that? We live in a media-saturated world where you are the product. I am the product. Sometimes we lose sight of that. You're the product. So how do I make the most of you as the product? I have to keep you watching. I have to keep your attention. Well, how do I keep your attention? I do everything I can to keep you perpetually uneasy, anxious, afraid. And we live in a world where cable news has perfected that. Where somehow if you miss an hour of this programming, you're missing out on what really matters. Media that is designed to keep you uneasy. And more, it seems to me, in my limited experience, that's not helping us live with confidence that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Our world needs messengers who say, yeah, this world is messed up, but it's been messed up for thousands of years. And there isn't any politician, there isn't any president, there isn't any king, there isn't any diplomat who's going to make all of the world's problems go away. But we know who reigns over all. We know who in the end is going to win. And so in what we say and how we say it, could I encourage all of us to live with confidence, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world. And the world listens to them. But we're to be different. We're from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Not everyone is going to be willing to listen to God in his wisdom. But those of us who have the Spirit of truth, we ought to be different in what we're saying and how we're saying. If you choose to spend time on the internet, don't slip into conformity with the internet. Go back with me to the book of Proverbs, this time Proverbs chapter 1. Number 2, the wisdom of God is relevant and it is timeless. We emphasized that from the outside, from the outset last night. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Look at that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We said last night, the internet opens up a world of information. It's absolutely incredible what you can know. That doesn't make you wise. There's a difference between knowledge, information, and wisdom. This book is full of wisdom from the Lord of the universe. So would you agree with me that we ought to read this more than we read anything else? I mean, doesn't that make sense when we try and make it as simple as possible? But how often do we spend hours scrolling through vanity, as we talked about last night, And then convince ourselves at the end of the day, I didn't have any time to read God's Word. I hope maybe through our little bit of time in Proverbs this morning, you've seen how much we need just the book of Proverbs. Could I give you a challenge? This Sunday is July 1st. Here's a challenge that I believe with all of my heart. You get to the end of July and you take this seriously, you're not going to regret. You're not going to look back and say, you know what? That bozo on the last Saturday in June led me to waste a whole lot of my time and attention. I don't think that'll be the case. If it is the case, feel free to contact me and I'll apologize. Could I encourage you, in the month of July, read the book of Proverbs more than you read whatever, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is. And see if that doesn't have a positive impact on your heart and the way that you view the world. Because all I can share with you is my personal experience. The more time I spend on social media, and I'm active on social media, I don't believe that's wrong in and of itself, but the more time I spend on it, the ickier I feel. That's not a big Bible word, that's just Jason's attempt to try and encapsulate how I feel. The more time I spend on it, generally, I don't walk away from that feeling really gratified and built up. Maybe that says more about who I'm following and my own mindset than anything else. But I don't ever walk away from serious time in God's Word feeling icky. Maybe I feel like my toes have been stomped on, but I needed that. Here is something that is eternally relevant, and absolutely timeless. Could I plead with you? Don't put this on the back burner for the emptiness of what's online. Take that seriously. Number three, if you go with me to the gospel, or first of all to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Number three. The vast majority of the social media verse is all about self. Don't believe that? Think about the most popular form of picture taking on social media. It is the selfie, right? The vast majority of the social media verse is all about self. Don't neglect the most important realities. As I mentioned, Heath will talk with you about that, Lord willing, in the morning. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, or the end of Ecclesiastes 12. This is what it's all about. Fear God and keep His commandments. Here's the New Testament version in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. We need to hear that in 2018. I need to hear that consistently in this fiercely independent world where we go back to some of the things we talked about last hour, that I don't care, I'm just going to do whatever it is that feels good in the moment, and this is my account, this is my device, I'm just going to say and share whatever I want to say and share. A lot of people live with that attitude. Here is our Creator reminding us, you're not your own. Even if you don't care anything about God, listen, you're breathing His air. You're resting on His planet. You are warmed by His sun. And you can choose to ignore that for a little while. One day, we're all going to come face to face with Him. But doubly so, if we're Christians, we were bought with a price. We are not our own. And somehow, interacting in this artificial digital world, that doesn't change things. The first commandment, love Him with everything that we are. And the second commandment, love our neighbor as ourselves. In this artificial environment that is so much about self, don't neglect those most important realities. Number four, go with me quickly to 2 Peter chapter 1. In a world where nearly everything is auto-done. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? I don't like going to the bank anymore. You want to know why? Because I don't feel like I shouldn't have to go to the bank. That's how spoiled I am. You give me a check, okay, well, I don't even really like checks that much, but, you know, that's a part of the world that we live in. And so if I get a check, what am I going to do? I'm going to pull out my phone and I'm going to take two pictures of that, and then I don't have to go anywhere near the bank, right? We live in a world where everything is auto-done for us. Where if my GPS doesn't calculate an alternate route and I have to sit in traffic, I'm annoyed by that. Never mind that I have more technology in that little device than the computers that helped people land on the moon. We have become so very acclimated to this world all around us where so much of it is done for me. Let's remember that some things can't be downloaded. They're not available in the App Store. Faith can't be downloaded. Courage, conviction can't be downloaded. But do you know how Peter described that? Read it with me in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in the third verse of the chapter. And listen to what our Creator has made available. In verse 3 of 2 Peter 1, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We didn't need Steve Jobs to create Apple in order to give us all things that pertain to life. God did that a long time ago. And it comes through the knowledge of Him. It goes back to how much time am I spending growing in my knowledge of Him and His will for my life. This comes through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. There isn't anything that I'm going to run across humanly generated on social media that's better than that. So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort. And the digital age doesn't push us to do that. Right? You know that. You'll sit down and you'll watch Netflix for 45 minutes and you don't even have to move a muscle. Because right there in the bottom right-hand corner, the next episode will air in 5, 4, 3, 2. You don't have to blink and suddenly, there it is. A fresh 45 minutes. But the most important things in life, they don't work that way. Which is why we are being called make effort. Increasingly, it takes effort to hit the power button, put it down, to walk away, to use an old-fashioned alarm clock and leave it in the kitchen drawer. But we're called not just to make effort, but to make every effort to supplement faith. I can't download faith. Supplement faith with virtue. I can't find that in any app store. Supplement virtue with knowledge. Goes back to our challenge for the month of July. Supplement knowledge with self-control. And would you agree with me that this digital age has not made us more self-controlled? If anything, it has sawn off the edges. Supplement self-control with steadfastness. We haven't grown in our ability to stick to something until it's done. If we get frustrated, we're just going to move on to something else. Supplement steadfastness with godliness. We're not going to drift in that direction. Supplement godliness with brotherly affection. That's one of the things that social media has not necessarily helped us grow in, but lay on the altar as we give full vent to our spirits. Supplement brotherly affection with love. Those things take effort. And in a world where nearly everything is auto-done, remember, the most important things, they can't be downloaded. Number five, don't depend on the digital friend illusion. We live in a world where study after study after study after study shows, for all the world to see, children among us are some of the loneliest human beings that have existed for a very, very long time. They got 2,000 friends online, but no friends on the playground. Increasingly, you listen to people who hire in companies, and they will tell you how challenging it is, because here is someone who can find anything in the world online, but they can't have a face-to-face, eye-to-eye contact conversation. If I could encourage all of our young people this morning, deeply invest yourself in the life of the local church. No digital platform will ever replace the infinite wisdom of God in calling us to be members, active, healthy members of a local church. God has told us that for our good. We need consistent human impact. Increasingly, you know what the most valuable thing there is in 2018? It's undivided attention. It's presence. Real face-to-face presence. Where, as a preacher, we've got a few people here who listened to me for 10 years in Columbus. And they might be able to list five sermons that I preached. But you know what they do remember? They remember me being at the funeral home. I remember them coming to my house. Increasingly, that is what is going to be more and more and more valuable as we're so distracted in this digital age and increasingly so focused on self. God's wisdom stands. Deeply invest yourself in the life of the local church. Don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together, God tells you, because His way works. Take the time to spend time across the table from each other with devices set down. You see it just as surely as I do, where you sit down at a restaurant and a family of five, every single one of them is looking at a device. And we're missing something there. Something that our Creator knows. Dads, take the lead in that. Put the phone down, silence it, and have that family time. Teenagers, be a good example of that. Real physical presence is supremely valuable. Let's end in Psalm 34. I truly appreciate your time throughout this weekend and your very, very kind attention. If there's one thing that I want you to walk away with this weekend, here it is. Technology, no matter how promising, will never ultimately satisfy. You know how I know that personally? I've experienced it over and over and over again. A new iPhone comes out, and suddenly, somehow, mystically, magically, this amazing device that my grandfather would not have believed at 39 years old, suddenly, that incredible device in my pocket just feels like junk. Because there's a brand new edition, and it's thinner. Never mind that I can carry a telephone and a map and a calculator and a computer in my pocket already. Somehow, because this is thinner or brighter or takes a little better pictures, and I would never be able to tell that on my own, but that's what the experts tell me. Suddenly now, what I have isn't good enough. And so I'll do whatever I have to do to get that new one. And I think, this is the one that will satisfy me until the X comes out. Or the, you know what's coming this fall? It's an 8X. And then you know what's coming next spring? A 9. And a giant machine is built to convince you that somehow you're not enough if you don't have whatever it is, fill in the blank. And we buy into that, and we buy into that. Whatever, if it's not technology, maybe it's square footage in a house or RPMs of a car or whatever it is. Don't we have over and over and over again shown to us the things of this world never ultimately really satisfy? Do you know what does? It's not a what, it's a who. Here in Psalm 34, read with me beginning in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. For those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. I told you last night from Luke chapter 8, at least in my limited estimation, where we are as Americans in 2018, we are that soil that is full of thorns. And the life-giving Word of God is so easily choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. Here's the oasis. It's been here for 3,000 years. It's been translated into nearly every language known to man. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You will never, if you would allow me the analogy, you will never take a big bite out of God and come away disappointed. You will never really, really seek God with all of your heart, all of your soul. Maybe it's the month of July and you've never read the book of Proverbs. I promise you, you won't reach the end of July disappointed. If you'll seek Him with all of your heart, you'll have no lack. And you might not have what everybody else has. You might have a phone that is woefully outdated. You might never live in the house of your dreams. But if you have come to taste and see that the Lord is good, you will lack no good thing. And so let's marvel at this age in which we live. Let's marvel at the mind of God that has designed this world where we as human beings continue to grow in our sophistication, and we can use these resources and have incredible tools at our hands. But let's remember that these things, when push comes to shove, they're just tools. I've sat with a lot of people who know, as they lay in a hospital bed, that they're not going to get out of that bed and they're not going to be able to go home. And I've listened to a lot of really happy memories and I've listened to a lot of regrets. And I never have, and I don't believe that I ever will, hear the person say, "I wish I had spent more time on Facebook." Or I wish I had accumulated more followers on Instagram. Because when we reach those critical points in life, suddenly what really matters begins to get really, really clear. And this is what wisdom is all about. Being able to look as far down the road as possible and see, okay, there's all sorts of paths that I can take in life. Life is connected. And what do I want to have at the end of my path? Here God is showing us the better question is, who do I want to have at the end of my path? All along He's been inviting, taste and see. I'm best. Trust me. Follow me. Listen to me. My way works. My way is the best way. And if you will seek me with all of your heart, you won't be disappointed. I very much appreciate your time and your attention this morning. Let's end with a word of prayer, if you'll bow with me, please. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we live in such an incredible world. We pray that we would have eyes to see the wonders of creation around us and that they would remind us that you are and you reign and you have a will for our lives. Father, we pray that you would help us to be transformed. We pray that our minds would be renewed and that we would shine as lights of hope in a world that so desperately needs hope. We pray that you would do whatever you must do to make us channels of blessing to the world around us. Help us to be the examples that this world needs. Help us to be unashamed of the gospel. It tells us that we are in desperate need. But it also shows us the way to salvation. Help us to be unashamed of that. Help us to develop hunger and thirst for your wisdom. Help us to be less about ourselves and more about you. Help us to love you with every fiber of our being. And help us to love our neighbors, regardless of what they look like, regardless of where they're from, regardless of the mess that they have made of their lives. Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Help us to supplement our faith with virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and brotherly affection and love. Help us to be more like you than we have ever been before. We thank you that in Jesus we have not only a Savior but a friend. And help us to be a friend to Him. Help us to find our ultimate satisfaction in you. Help us to continue to taste and see that you are what matters most. Father, forgive us when we have not sought you with all of our heart. Help us to realize how easily we are distracted. We thank you that you are always willing to welcome us back into your fold. Father, help us to have hearts that want you more than we want anything. We need your help. We thank you that we have Jesus as our advocate and our intercessor and the one who has shown us the way. Help us to take more steps down that way throughout the rest of this day that you've provided, the rest of this weekend, and as long as you provide us time on this earth. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.